Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Morning. You all right? How are you doing? It is Monday, the 12th of January in the year of our Lord, 2026. It has just struck 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And how are you on this fine Monday morning? Monday. I'm joined by little Harry once again. How are you, Harry? What's up?
Good morning.
You all right?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, well, let's just dive straight in. No need for unnecessary preamble. So today's not a particularly slow news day. Again, not a particularly slow news day. The big story today is Iran. Everything's Iran. Wall-to-wall Iran this morning. Okay, let's just jump straight in then. So BBC News leads with The Guardian. Okay, deep breath. The Guardian. Iran warns US not to attack as protester death toll soars. And as you'll see, that is the story on a lot of these papers. Harry, you might want to check whether the camera's perfectly in focus on the main one. I'll carry on. Okay, Iran warns US not to attack as protester death toll soars. So, okay, a lot of reports are saying that, So, for a start, there are lots and lots of protests going on up and down the length and breadth of Iran. That is not in question. That is not in doubt. It's just a question of how bad they are, how bad the death toll, how big the death toll is. There we go. Perfectly in focus there. Do not adjust your sets. Because some reports are saying, a lot of the corporate mainstream media are saying that the death toll is massive. You know, hundreds and hundreds. You know, one report here will say it's 180-odd people. Some say it's more. The Crown Prince of Iran, the son of the old Shah, said it's like 2,000-odd or something. I thought I saw him say on Fox News last night. Other people are saying that that's all the psyop. That's not real. That's all propaganda. That's all sort of American or Israeli regime change propaganda. And it's nowhere near as bad as that. I don't know, I'm not on the ground. You know, I've got no idea one way or the other. But the mainstream media is sort of in lockstep. I mean, take from that what you will, you know. You could argue that suggests that there is something to it. Or, equally, you could argue that exactly that suggests that it is sort of fake. But nonetheless, there we go. They're saying there are lots and lots of deaths in these protests. Okay, what have we got? Mandelson declines to say sorry for Epstein friendship. Yeah, this is a weird one. Last ditch Hail Mary attempt to defend himself from Mandy. Former UK ambassador says he knew nothing of the disgraced financier's sex life. Well, after his actual conviction for sex crime, there's no way he couldn't have known. And this is Mandy's words. Maybe because I was gay. I was kept separate. Maybe because I was gay. That's his defence. I couldn't possibly know about all underage girls. I am gay. That might get clipped, isn't it? Whenever you say something like that. in the first person like that. But yeah, so that's Mandy's defence. Because he's a gay man. A practising homosexualist. He couldn't possibly have known anything about Epstein. I mean, it's just obvious nonsense, isn't it? Because if anyone doesn't know or remember that Mandy was not just sort of an acquaintance of Jeffrey Epstein, he was a full-blown sort of like best friend. Like, they emailed each other hundreds and hundreds of times, weirdly. My best friends in the world, like my half a dozen closest friends in the world, I haven't emailed them hundreds of times, ever, in my whole life. That's weird. That's closer than a best friend in a way, or to me. Maybe I'm not a big emailer, I guess. But like they'll send each other birthday cards and stuff and best wishes all the time. Weird, like a weird, weird, weird close relationship between Peter Mandelson, of all people, and Jeffrey Epstein. But apparently, according to Mandy, he didn't know, he was kept separate from everything. He had no idea, we couldn't, didn't know anything. Because he's gay. I mean, come on, please. Please. Right, slashing jury trials could, quote, clear backlog in a decade, quote. Yeah, that's David Lammy, Deputy Prime Minister. And, like, Justice Secretary, isn't he? Urged Labour MPs yesterday to back judge-only trials in thousands of criminal cases. Well, you know, I'm completely against that. Most normal English people are completely against it. It's sort of a glorious tradition of jury trials going back centuries and centuries. And some complete moron, possibly literally a clinical retard, possibly... in David Lammy, wants to do away with hundreds and hundreds of years of tradition. Don't like that. Don't want that. Okay, the FT. What's the FT going with? EU demands Farage clause in talks over Brexit reset. So what this is, says their financial penalty if reform pulls out. Brussels seeks long-term agreement. So this story is that Sir Keir Starmer and his government are trying to do... it seems, well, they not seems, they definitely are, in talks to do some sort of deal with the EU bloc to bring them closer together. Not necessarily fully rejoining the EU the way we used to, but some sort of deal, one way or another. And, well, actually, we don't know the full details. I couldn't tell you the full details if I wanted to, because no one knows them at this point. It's just, they're just in talks with them. Well, from the EU side, they're saying they want some sort of clause in that deal, that agreement, where if either side pulls out of it afterwards, then they've got to pay the other party a load of money. And you could call that, or some have already dubbed that, a Farage clause. In other words, imagine Keir Starmer and his government have got fairly far down the line of... drawing up this new deal with Brussels, with Europe. And then Nigel just wins the next general election, which he's probably going to do. And then Nigel just scraps all of that. It's just like, no. Because if there's one quote-unquote based thing you could expect Nigel to do, it is to take a, hopefully, anyway, come on, hopefully, take a reasonably hard line against Europe and on the Brexit reset, any sort of Brexit reset that might be ongoing at that point. You know, I don't hold out much hope for Nigel to be all that hard line and, you know, populist or nationalist or patriotic in loads of ways, but you would hope at least on some sort of Brexit reset he would, you could bank on him to abandon that at least. So they're saying, let's draw into it, Europe is saying, let's draw into it, if one side or the other, obviously the British side of that equation, pulls out, then you have to pay loads of money. Classic Europe, right? That seems to me. That's a classic European Union sort of way of thinking and acting, is that they'll just immediately, like an overzealous mother or teacher or something, draw up ways to try and punish you and to try and just get money out of Britain by hell or high water. Brilliant, classic. They haven't changed their stripes at all, have they? There's a picture of some protests, allegedly, in Iran. Challenge to Tehran. Regime warns Trump against interfering as protests mount in Iran. Okay, private equities dash offshore triggers concern over transparency of funds. Okay, right, so Iran. We're not ready to bomb Iran yet, says US generals. All right, so on Friday, Friday afternoon, Trump sits down and does a long press conference, like an hour and a half press conference, including loads of questions with Rubio and J.D. Vance and a lot. And in there, he talks all about Venezuela and Greenland and all sorts of things. There's loads and loads of questions. And of course, Iran comes up. And Trump continued his line, his position, which was, if the mullahs and the ayatollah in Iran kill loads and loads of people, then America stands ready to help. And it's always a bit vague. I mean, it probably was always going to be a bit vague. You know, he's not going to explicitly tell you the actual military plans. But still, his position would be that if loads and loads of people get killed, massacred, you know, in large numbers, then the United States will step up and do something. Who knows really what that means, whether it's, you know, just bombing of regime buildings, or whether it's, you know, a Maduro-style special forces raid, or whether it's some sort of full-blown invasion. You know, it wouldn't be a full-blown invasion because you need months and months and months to build up to that. If anyone remembers the second Gulf War in 2003 with George Bush Jr. taking out Saddam, it took months, honestly, like quite a few months to build up in like in the US Navy in the Persian Gulf and all that sort of thing. Get all your bases in places like Saudi Arabia and Qatar, Doha and all that sort of thing. And so the United States isn't in a position to, and I don't think they want to, well, they're not going to just do a full-blown Iraq 2003 invasion. But nonetheless, who knows what they might do sort of short of that. Some of the details were things like they'll just do like cyber attacks in Iran, possibly. Well, let's see what's there. The IR paper says, Trump considers airstrikes against regime as Iran protesters defy a deadly crackdown. Despite internet blackout by the Iranian regime, I'll talk about that in a sec, evidence grows that demonstrators are being slaughtered. Cost of living protests are morphing into wider anger at the Ayatollah and his 36-year rule. US commanders say they need time to prepare military strikes, given that retaliation is likely. This is very small. I haven't got 2020 anymore. I'm looking in my mid-40s. I used to have 2020. I guess I haven't anymore. That writing is pretty small for me. Tehran vows revenge attacks against American bases, ships and allies. Harry's making it bigger for me. Was it? Okay, thanks. Tehran vows revenge attacks against American bases, ships and allies in the Middle East. Okay, so some of the details are that over the weekend, seems like things did escalate over the weekend. I think there's no way to avoid saying that one way or another. And the Iranian regime have shut down the sort of the outside internet, as I understand it, that there isn't like the full-blown, completely free and open internet that we enjoy in the West, in Iran anyway. But what little there was, they shut down. And they've got some type of internal intranet-style thing going on. A few countries in the world do that, you know, like North Korea and things do that. And then also, but there is the possibility of Skylink, isn't there? Elon's satellite array. And apparently the Iranians, the regime, scrambled that or jammed that. Nonetheless, it's still possible one way or another, here and there, for things to get out, you know. So people that are actually on the ground can film things on their phone. And then one way or another, it's possible to get the odd bit of information out here or there. So there are videos circulating around which do seem to be from the weekend. So somehow some videos are getting out. So I mean, to say a little bit more about Iran, because it is the main story today, it's basically the main story. Just to tell you sort of personally where I am, what my thoughts and feelings on it, and then I'll go through a bit more of the sort of the spectrum of opinion. My opinion is that, I'm certainly not pro the Islamic theocracy regime that's there. I'd like to see as few or none, no, Islamic theocracies in the world. That would be nice. I'd like to see that. If it is really the case that the vast majority of Iranian people don't like that regime and would rather the Shah's son, the crown prince, come back, if that is the case, then good. I'd rather see that then. That's my position on it. You know, I don't best of luck to the Iranian people, you know. I care about it mostly in the sense of through the lens of how it affects Britain. You know, because we had a... I don't know if anyone remembers, but maybe, how long ago was it? Maybe 6 months ago or a year ago or so. There's a bunch of raids across Britain, including in Swindon, including in, there's like a Cafe Nero round near Iceland in the middle of Swindon. There was a raid there and they were like all Iranian people. There's like multiple Iranian terrorist cells operating in Britain, and the police, the anti-terror police in Britain, swooped on them all at once, all on one morning, four or five or six different places across Britain, and one of them was actually in Swindon, in a place we walk past all the time, like you couldn't be, you know, it's really close to home, sort of a thing. There's a thing where the ununiformed police sweep down on them and put a bag over their head and put bags over their hands. I guess it's to preserve evidence of bomb-making particles on their hands, something like that. And it is true, isn't it? It is a fact. It's not just Pentagon propaganda, or not just Israeli propaganda, that Iran does have proxies all over the Middle East, or in some places, in some senses, all over the world, doing terroristic things. I think that's a matter of record. That's not just pure nonsense. That is the case, or was the case. So I would like to see a better regime in Iran, but when it affects Britain, so there was a couple of videos came out from over the weekend where the Iranian embassy in London, in Prince's Gate, interestingly, only a couple of weeks ago I did an epochs video on lotusetus.com, talking about the history of the 1980 Iranian embassy siege in London, where the SAS went in and sort of put a shaped charge against the first story window and sort of blew up the balcony a bit. That same balcony, that very same one, because the same building to this day is used as the Iranian embassy. Some guys climbing up, there's protests, anti the Ayatollah's regime protests in London outside the Iranian embassy in Kensington. And some guy climbed up, scaled up the outside of the building and tried or did rip down the Iranian flag and try and put a new one on. And then the next day, was it just on Sunday, someone did it again. And they're all chanting, there's loads of chanting, like, bring back the prince and things like this. Now, I think that's gross. I don't want to see that. Not because I'm pro the Ayatollahs. It's just like, ugh. That's my thoughts and feelings as an Englishman. Like, ugh, get out of my country. So, all of them. Yeah, maybe the Ayatollahs can fall and all those Iranians can go back there. That's my feeling about it. But the range of opinion, right, you've got someone at one end of the spectrum like Maya Tusi, right, who's really, 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 and for example, just an example, Maya Tusi, you know, Tusi TV, really, really, really anti the regime, right? Really, really, really pro bring the king back and anything that helps damage the regime of the Ayatollahs, he's all in favour of, right? Up to and including, you know, standing for Israel. You know, or Tommy Robinson, perhaps. You know, anything that wounds the Islamic world, he's sort of really for. And I'm not condemning them for this, particularly. You know, it's further than my position, but they're welcome to their position. Right, and then you've got a lot of the world that are just, in general, anti the Ayatollahs. Take, for example, J.K. Rowling, you know, coming out and just saying, isn't it great that hopefully a lot of people, women, will be more liberated under a less theocratic, autocratic regime? You've got loads of people, like, you know, like Israel, for example, obviously, Israel. Right at that end of the spectrum. Anything that wounds Iran, they're in favour of, right? And then you've got perhaps the the Trump administration a little bit closer to the centre than that, but not much, basically on the same page, right? And then you've got a whole swathe of opinion. And then you've got people at the other end of the spectrum, even some of those on the right, that are against it, if you can believe this, sort of some of the mental gymnastics required for this, that replacing the regime in Iran would be replacing it with sort of, you know, the GAE, the Global American Empire, which is Zionist adjacent or Zionist captured, something like that. It's like it's all BlackRock that's funding it. It's all like the insane liberal of like transgenderism and all the worst bits of the West. That's what would be replacing a solid conservative regime. So unbelievably, not unbelievably, I suppose it's not unbelievable, but some people, even on the right, are not in favour of this, and think it. And again, think that most of the news that come out of on the mainstream media is just sort of Israeli propaganda or US propaganda. So that's the full spectrum of thoughts and feelings on this. As I say, I come down on the side of ultimately, if it's a binary choice, do you want the? It doesn't have to be a binary choice, by the way, but if it is, if it were to be, do you want the Ayatollah's regime in Iran to be replaced with one, like some sort of provisional government, some sort of interim provisional government with the crown prince in charge, which after that leads to some form of democracy, some sort of vote where the average Iranian person gets to vote. Right, if it's a choice between that or the Ayatollah, well, I choose the Crown Prince and the voting side of that binary choice. There you go. That's my opinion. But yeah, I mean, we shall see what happens. I mean, I really can't go down the route of defending or standing for the Ayatollahs. I can't really force myself to do that. You know, even you talk about the lesser of two evils, aren't we? So I guess the Ayatollahs is the worst of the two evils in my mind. That's me. I feel like if you find yourself defending the Iranian regime because you hate America so much, feel like you've probably lost some perspective a little bit, you know. If you hate Zionism and Israel so much that you find yourself upset that Maduro, a communist dictator, was removed from power, feel like you've lost perspective somewhat. All right, The Independent, what does The Independent say? Yeah, Iran pledges to hit US military targets if Trump strikes. So where Trump has said, you know, for days and days now, a week or two now, that he's prepared to help the protesters in Iran, even up to and including some form of military intervention. He's been saying that for a while now. Well, Iran has said now openly, if you do that, we're prepared to strike back. We know Iran's got some missiles. You know, in their limited war with Israel last year, they showed they've got missiles. And America's got bases all over the Middle East, of course, haven't they? Places like Doha and in Saudi Arabia and assets in the Persian Gulf and the Mediterranean Sea and on and on and on, right? So, yeah, Iran has said, if you hit us, we'll hit you back. I mean, okay, but the US will have a bigger arsenal, though, right? So, I mean, good luck with that, you know. It's a classic thing, you know, probably don't, I mean, a classic thing, going back to the ancient world, or going back to, I don't know, someone like von Clausewitz or something springs to mind, or even Machiavelli. Various people, various strategists throughout, military strategists throughout history, have said one way or another in various forms, don't start a war you're pretty confident you can't win. That's not a good strategy. Right? Iran striking the US or preemptively striking the US or anything, it's not a great strategy because you'll probably lose. Right? I suppose, you know, it's like Hamas attacking Israel. Well, it's like the Israeli military is stronger than Hamas's paramilitary efforts. It will be stronger. So it's just not a good idea. If you want to win on the battlefield, that is, you know, hearts and minds are something else, of course. But just purely in military terms, purely in military terms, the US is more powerful than Iran. I mean, need it be really said? The Independent says under there, as violent protests grow even bigger across Iran, tensions ramps up in the Middle East, with Israel and the US discussing intervention after hundreds of demonstrators feared dead in brutal regime crackdown. Okay, the Daily Mail says, shot dead Rabina. Oh, so this is what the media often do, don't they? Especially sort of tabloids. Is they'll pick, like, one person. They do that, don't they? They often pick an example of one person, you know. One particular child drowns in the Rio Grande or the Mediterranean. Immigrant trying to cross a body of water. They pick the example of one person, the tragedy of it. So that's what they've done here with this Iranian woman, shot dead, Rabina, 23, a victim of the mullah's death squads. 500 protesters reported killed as Kemi backs military action, does she? While hand-wringing Labour calls for calm. Shouldn't laugh, really. It's not funny, is it? But yeah, the way they've framed it is what's funny to me, really. Okay, the Tory graph. I go with a picture of the same woman. You know, I said that last week, where sometimes papers go with not just the same story or the same editorial angle, the same take, but the same image. Look, it's the exact same image. It's funny, I thought the Telegraph and the Mail were completely different newspapers, but otherwise it's an odd coincidence, isn't it? All right, ban the IRGC, Starmer is urged. That's the IRGC is the Iranian military, or the Revolutionary Guard, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, shorthand for basically sort of the Iranian military or the security services. Ban them, Starmer is urged. Calls for Iran's security force to be proscribed after hundreds of protesters are killed. Okay, so again, the Iranian story, the Iranian thing sort of splits opinion quite heavily, doesn't it? You know, you see all the lefties and the pro-Islamic people are sort of, you know, essentially find themselves, and a few on the right, find themselves arguing in favour of the Ayatollah's regime. And then pretty much everyone else is like, no, they've been in for like, what, 46, 47 years, and they've been like really quite oppressive and murderous. I mean, that's a matter of record over the decades. I mean, be better for the people of Iran, would it not, if they had something a bit better, a little bit better than a Shiite Islamic theocracy, would it not? Mandelson, I did not know of Epstein abuses because I'm gay. Don't believe you, Mandy. Mandy. Bro. Not buying that. Don't believe you. No, don't buy it. Toddler's ability to speak is damaged by screen time, study finds. Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. The Metro. Harry. The worst of the worst, arguably. The bloody Metro. I hate the Metro. It is the worst. It's the pits. Fire and fury as Iran revolts. There's a picture. This has done rounds, wasn't it, on Twitter a bit. I've already seen it, like, clipped and memed. A woman got a picture of the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini there, and it's on fire, and she's lighting a cigarette from it in defiance. Brave women fuel new uprising, but desperate Ayatollah threatens death to Trump, quote, vandals, quote. There you go. So the regime itself, obviously, are saying all of this is just like foreign agent provocateurs. And let me just be clear. They may be right or largely right. I really don't know. It seems to me, if I had to put money on it, if I had to put 50 quid on what's real, what's the reality going on here, I would say that it really is a real grassroots protest and uprising by the people. And there's an element of, like, foreign agent provocateurs, whether it's Israeli or US or whatever, intelligence services, also stoking things. I would imagine there is an element of that. I would find it hard to believe there isn't an element of that, right? Like, is Mossad involved in, stoking up the protests a bit? Yeah, probably. I would have thought so, yeah. In fact, is that not even already sort of known to be the case? But also, I think probably the majority of it, though, is actual just true Iranian people rising up, because they've done it many, many times since, like, the year 2000, or since 1999, or it's happened many, many times, even like last year, or there was a big one in 2022, wasn't there? There was a big one in 2022 when some people, like, in America, in the Pentagon and the State Department, hoped that the Ayatollah's regime might be toppled at that point in 2022. But the Iranian powers that be killed a bunch of protesters, what was it, a few dozen or a few hundred at that point, and arrested something on the order of 20,000, and was able to stamp it out in 2022. And there's loads of examples before as well. Will they do that again here? I wouldn't be surprised. If I had to put 50 quid on whether the regime would be toppled this time next week, I'd say no, probably not. There's been so many false starts, false dawns on this thing, that I'll sort of believe it when I see it. But we'll see. I mean, some of the clips out of Iran, if you believe them, do show that big chunks of Tehran are now under the control of the people. I mean, the IRGC, basically the police, the military police, the security services, however you want to frame that, have sort of fled the area. It looks like they really have. They're not coming out in force, creating big barriers of like riot looking police with guns, and forcing protesters back. Seems like big parts of other cities in Iran seem to be controlled by nobody. Not controlled by the regime, at least that. Like the second biggest city and loads of other cities. Seems like maybe the Iranian people have learned the harsh lesson of, you don't do one massive rally, like a Tommy rally, you don't do one massive rally in Tehran. They've tried that a number of times, and you just get sort of penned in and kettled and taken out. What they needed to do is rise up all over Iran all at the same time. And it seems like that is something like that is going on, seems to me. Might be proven to be wrong in the coming days and weeks, that it all was just sort of US and Israeli propaganda, and it wasn't really happening. But from what I've seen, it does seem that it is. So, all right, The Times. MPs to urge sacking of police chief in fans ban. Parliament misled over Israeli supporters. So that's the story. I'll only briefly say, because I think I talked about it last week. We've definitely done segments on it off of the main Lotus Eater channel before, where there was the Maccabi Tel Aviv football club had come to Birmingham to play Aston Villa. Birmingham, a heavily Islamic city in Britain, demographically the centre of Birmingham is got lots of Muslim people live there, and the council, the town council, has got lots and lots of Muslim councillors, and they got the police one way or another. Is it West Midlands police? Got them to ban the fans, the Maccabee Tel Aviv fans, who are apparently, well, are, they are, very poorly behaved fans. And the police said they've banned the Maccabee fans because they had intelligence that the Maccabee fans were going to start smashing things up and making trouble. When in fact now it seems evidence is that it was the other way round. It was the Muslim denizens of Birmingham who had threatened to just go berserk on the Maccabee fans. And so MPs are urging the sacking of the police chief. The police chief that basically, it seems, just folded to the Muslim pressure. He himself isn't a Muslim or anything. He folded to the pressure inside Birmingham to do this. All right. My girl was shot. I saw hundreds more bodies, says somebody in Iran. Again, they got that same picture of that woman. They found a sort of slightly photogenic woman that's been killed, murdered. And, you know, slap her face up there front and centre. The Daily Express. Pharmacies in crisis after Labour's tax raid. They've decided that's the front page news today, the Express. And that's just about the, yeah, Labour's rates or taxes hike for the high streets has affected loads and loads of pharmacies. That, like, if I remember, yeah, 650 odd pharmacies have closed in recent times, in the last year. So, yeah, I suppose that's not ideal, is it? I mean, as long as there are some pharmacies still left open, that's not the way to think about it, though, is it? As long as there's one left, as long as we've still got one Boots the chemist, as long as I can still get some of my prescription drugs. So loads of chemists have closed down because of Labour. The Mirror. What's The Mirror say? Mandelson's sorry excuse. Again, on front page with Mandy. Anger after peer refuses. Sorry, the Lord Mandelson. That's quite right, sorry. The Lord Mandelson. Anger after peer refuses to apologise to Monster's victims for his friendship. Yeah, so in some sort of interview, I think he was asked to apologise. Like, are you sorry? And he sort of basically refused to say sorry. He just said, well, I didn't know anything about it, though. It is a sorry excuse, isn't it? You got to be a fool. He must think we're foolish to buy that. Like, who's going to buy that? Or that he's hiding behind the gay card. I'm playing the gay card. You can't really question me. You can't really notice the absurdity of my argument because I'm gay. Really? Doing that, Mandy? Really? All right. The Daily Star. Trump, you're off. 10 stars from Brit Club's red carded. This is a story about... In fact, I'm not even going to bother giving it any... It's just nonsense. It's pure slop, isn't it? Just pure slop. Forget about it. Forget about it. We'll move on. The BBC News website. Right, so their top story is the Iran stuff. Trump considers action and says Iran wants meeting after hundreds of protesters reported killed. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly something going on, isn't there? Even if these images are of 2 or 3 days old, even if that is the case, there are a fair few amount of images out there that show, sort of undeniably, right, that there is civil unrest in Iran. Anyone that's sort of claiming it's entirely, you know, Israeli propaganda or something, American propaganda, that just doesn't add up to me. That doesn't make sense. It can't be. Tea's gone cold. Yuck. Okay, have to resort simply to water. All right, what else have they got? Revolutionary eye injection saved my sight, says first ever patient. Good for you. I don't mean that sarcastically, but okay. Guantanamo detainee paid substantial compensation by UK to set a torture complicity case. Brilliant. Brilliant, why not? Chamolet beats DiCaprio to Golden Globe glory. Couldn't care less. Star glamour on the Golden Globes red carpet. Wow, I don't care. Wow, I don't care about the Golden Globes and who was wearing what. Vets are under increasing pressure to make money for corporate owners, BBC told. All right. US Justice Department opens criminal probe into Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Oh, that'd probably be an interesting story if that develops in coming days into something bigger. That's the first I'm seeing of that this morning. If in coming days that becomes any sort of story, I'll read all about that. Read all about it. I'll read all up about that and bring you that one if that becomes a thing. All right. The, quote, vicious cycle, quote, that means the NHS still wastes billions on patients who don't need to be in hospital. The NHS in Britain. What a car crash. What a dumpster fire of a thing. Terrible. The budget on that is so insane. How on earth they think you can have endless open borders, literally, quite literally, uncapped migration, and free healthcare for everybody? Just common sense says that's unsustainable. The amount of money, the bill, the NHS bill to the state, to everyone, all taxpayers, is gigantic. Now, there's some sort of vicious cycle, which means we keep paying billions to people that don't need to be in hospital. I mean, it's just endless stories, isn't it, about the NHS? That whole house of cards is going to collapse at some point. 4 killed and 5 injured in head-on crash. Was it? Patients of under 5s to be offered screen time guidance. Sorry. Parents of under 5s to be offered screen time guidance. If you're a parent and you're letting your under 5 watch so much, have so much screen time, that you need intervention from a third party to tell you to chill out on it, that's a bit worrying, isn't it? I know it's easy, and I don't blame parents if you've got a bawling, screaming, shouting, crying child, and if you give them a tablet, they will just sort of kind of suddenly, almost magically, sit down and be quiet. I get it, that you would want to do that. But maybe, quite possibly, it can go too far, especially for the very, very young. Okay. UK can legally stop shadow fleet tankers, ministers believe. Well, I guess it's how close to our waters do they actually come? I mean, it'd be difficult to make that argument in, like, the Marshall Islands in the Pacific, wouldn't it? In the Gilbert Islands. But if it's like just off of Grimsby, it's like 1 mile off of York, then that argument makes much more sense, doesn't it? Huge Roman villa uncovered under Popular Park in an amazing discovery. Oh, let's click on that. I like a bit of history news. A huge Roman villa discovered. Okay, cool. I'm reading this, looking at this literally for the first time with you guys live in real time. The scans reveal a villa within a defensive enclosure and an aisled building, possibly used as a barn or meeting hall. Okay, that does look like quite extensive archaeology there. Cool. Archaeologists have discovered the largest Roman villa ever found in Wales. Wow. In an, quote, amazing discovery, quote, which they say has the potential to be Port Talbot's Pompeii. Port Talbot. Okay, Port Talbot's Pompeii. Wow, okay. I shall read up about this today at some point, and hopefully it will be in the news even tangentially tomorrow or some later date, and I'll talk all about it in a bit more detail in the future. All right, we're already nearly 8:45, so we'll whip through a few of these. ITV goes with Iran protest, Trump considering, quote, very strong military options. Who knows what that really means? Would it just be would it be cruise missiles, drone strikes, or just sort of, you know, screwing with them on in a cyber warfare type way. Who knows, really, at this point? We'll have to see. We're all waiting with bated breath to see what happens in Iran over the coming, what, 2 or 3 days, a week or something. It hangs in the balance, I think. Channel 4. Channel 4 news. Do we really need to go through Channel 4? Iran protests. Thousands arrested by regime as death toll rises. So even Channel 4, who would do everything they could to discredit and undermine any sort of narrative coming out of the White House or Israel or something, even they seem to be convinced that there are giant protests and that the death toll rises. Iran seeing revolution, not unrest, says Iranian-American activist. Iran regime must have nowhere to run, says former UK security minister. Health concerns grow for Palestine Action hunger strikers. Don't care about them. Don't care about them. Sky News. Victims of Bolton crash which killed 3 teenagers named locally. Sad, isn't it? Again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'll probably say it dozens of times on this show over the weeks or even months. The individual stories like that, sad as they are, in my opinion, are not national news. Unless there's a specific angle to it, which makes it like a national story. But like, that's terrible for those people killed, those teenagers killed, and their families. Is it a national story? I don't think so. But there you go. News agencies do often go with, like, you know, an individual event like that. All right. The Daily Mail, the Mail Online, Golden Age Glam. Kylie Jenner and Jennifer Lawrence bring old Hollywood glamour to the Golden Globes alongside Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Hudson. Could not care less. How is that new? Like, get real. Get real. The Golden Globes. And what Jennifer Lawrence is wearing. Give me a break. All right, Daily Express, the Express Online. Andrew just wiped £30 million off Eugenie and Beatrice's inheritance. His downfall's complete. So his daughters, Princess Eugenie and Princess Beatrice. Yeah, I mean, they unfortunately have to deal with the, at least tangentially, at least by proxy, with the disgrace of their father. Prince Andrew. Oh, sorry. The once Prince Andrew. Now he's just Andrew Mountbatten, isn't he? Or Andrew Windsor. Did I call him Andrew Windsor? Oh, no. But that is, yeah. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. That's his name now. Not Prince Andrew. He's not HRH. He's not a prince. He's not a prince. So, you know, obviously they have to still live in the shadow of his disgrace. Oh, well. Oh, well. All right. What's the Sun gone with? What do you reckon it'll be? What do you reckon? Oh, the Golden Globes. Is there J-Lo? Is that J-Lo? Who cares, really? Really, who cares? I'm asking that. I'm asking the question. Who cares? Who cares about what someone like Jennifer Lawrence and Leo and J-Lo wore to the Golden Globes? It's not even the Oscars. The New York Slimes. Federal prosecutors open investigation into Fed Chair Powell. The investigation, which is said to centre on the renovations... Is that it? Renovations? Yeah. Of the Federal Reserve's headquarters escalates President Trump's long-running feud with the chair. Okay, so, well, I really hope that will become a big enough story that it lasts into another day. It looks like it probably will do, actually. And it'll give me time to read up about all the details, all the backstory of it. And we'll talk about it in detail another time, as it is already gone 1:45. Let's whip through a couple more of these then. What have we got? The Washington Post. Justice Department opens a criminal investigation of Fed chair. Okay, so as we can see, the New York Slimes and the Washington Post are both leading with that story. So in the American press, it's a biggie. The Los Angeles Times. Everything that happened at the 2026 Golden Globes. Yeah, The Los Angeles Times is much more sort of tabloidy, isn't it? Everyone must agree with me on that one. It's compared to the New York Times or the Washington Post, which aren't averse to a bit of slop, are they? But it seems like the LA Times is more down that road. All right, Sky News Australia. Sky News Australia, I said I would do it because they're often quite based and we've got lots of Aussies in the audience. So shout out to all the Aussies. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Go for your life, mate. You bloody Aussies. Right, activist Kathy Wilcox snubs SMH. What is that? That's the Sydney Morning Herald. Activist Kathy Wilcox snubs the Sydney Morning Herald after controversial cartoon sparks fury. Activist cartoonist Kathy Wilcox has snubbed her own newspaper after the Sydney Morning Herald issued a grovelling apology for publishing a, quote, highly distressing, quote, cartoon which offended the Jewish community with anti-Semitic tropes. There you go. That's what Sky News Australia is leading with this morning. A cartoonist did an anti-Semitic cartoon. PM recalls Parliament for next week to introduce sweeping anti-hate laws. The poor Aussies. You know, if you asked me when I was younger, like in the 1990s or something, or even the very early 2000s, would places like Canada and Australia be among the most progressive? Would they go sort of kind of hard left censorship, Canada and Australia? I would have said no. No way. Really? Canada? Australia? No, no, no. If anything, there'd be, particularly Australia even, there'd be bastions against that sort of thing. Nope. Nope, not really. In many ways, they're ahead of us in some senses, in some senses. And I feel for them, the Aussie, my Aussie cousins. Coalition, quote, deeply sceptical, quote, of Anthony Albanese's anti-extremism bill. I may well have been pronouncing that surname. Albanese. All right. They also got a story about Iran. A Muslim leader and wife violently assaulted in alleged hate crime. Oh. Heaven forbid. Heaven forfend. All right, Japan. Let's go across. Let's go up to Japan. The Kyoto News. What have they got? Is this the latest? Kyoto News Digest. Feature Singapore try to improve conditions for low-paid migrants. Okay, do they? Chimpanzee AI, or A, is that the name? A? Known for high literary skills, dies in Japan. A chimp has died in Japan! A chimp has died in Japan. Stop the presses. Okay, the Xinhua Network goes with Xi replies to letter from teachers, students of US Youth Education Exchange Delegation. Bit dry, isn't it? Sometimes it's very, the Chinese, it's always seems a bit dry, doesn't it? What else have we got? Chinese president appoints new ambassadors. Okay. China maintains strong momentum in anti-corruption drive. Chinese always trying to, or seemingly, wants to be seen to, at least, be always trying to drive out corruption. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I'd love to, for most countries to get rid of all their political corruption. If I was Lord Protector of Britain, if I suddenly found myself PM or absolute monarch, king, something like that, any one of those things, I would come down hard on any and all corruption I found at every level. Winkle it out. It would be very close to top priority the whole time I was in power. Chinese astronauts conduct key training experiments on space station. Oh, cool, do they? Alrighty. What have the Ruskies saying? TASS. Is it, do you say TASS or do you say TASS? I've got no idea. I need to find that out. But a Russian news agency run with at the top of their website. Trump open to meeting with Iranians on nuclear program, says White House press pool. Okay. So maybe, you know, Trump's going to try and make a deal with the Iranians. You know, maybe it's a, we won't drone you into oblivion, We won't tomahawk you into the next world, but you have got to completely comply with the destructive, the annihilation and dismantling of your nuclear program. Maybe something like that. Is that what that news story is aiming at saying? What else have they got? Russian armed forces liberate 6 settlements during the New Year holidays. So the Russians, with a little bit of pro-Russian war front news. Can't blame them, really. I mean, it's, you know, part of the course, isn't it, I suppose? Iran announces arrest of 2 Mossad-affiliated organisers of protests. Well, there you go. So, yeah, earlier on I said it seems to be the case. I wouldn't be surprised if Mossad were involved in some level. It may already be a case that is a documented fact. There you go. So it took the Russians. Nothing in the British press or the US press about it. Not that I went into any real depth on the US press, but there you go. The Russians just openly going with the story of it there. So there you go. Yeah. Thousands of New Yorkers protest against Trump administration's policies. Right. So just a Russian anti-Trump story there. I did see lots and lots of Iranian anti-Ayatollah regime protests in a few different places. There was like a big one in Canada. There was one in LA, I think. Did someone drive a vehicle? Very late last night, I saw someone, and I may get the details of this wrong, but someone drove a big U-Haul vehicle through a crowd. It's that sort of thing is horrible, but not all that uncommon anymore, isn't it? Build the Germans. Let's skip them for today. They're very sloppy build, aren't they? Le Monde. Let's also skip them. Right, what's happening on Twitter? What's happening on Twitter? Italian police are introducing an African illegal refugee to the law. Oh, some Italian police detain an African migrant. There you go. Anti-Islam graffiti was seen on the wall of an Islamic centre in Essex. Oh. Essex boys keeping it real. What's this? Pakistani Mia brothers raped 2 7-year-old boys in a mosque. They drugged and prostituted 30 underage schoolgirls. They cut off the toes of 2 girls who tried to escape. The court found a total of 62 crimes. This happened in Leeds, UK. Illegal immigration continues to destroy the UK. It's not just illegal, is it? Legal immigration as well is destroying the UK. Mad. I bet this story barely registers in the mainstream media, like tomorrow or whatever. We'll see tomorrow. Bet the BBC or most of the mainstream media won't sort of make that a big deal. All right, well, quickly then, to end out the show, on this day in history, on January the 12th, what's happened? Let's see. In 1528, Gustav I of Sweden is crowned King of Sweden and rules for 37 years. And becomes known as the father of the nation, Gustav I. There you go. What else have we got? In 1948, Mahatma Gandhi begins his final fast. I always think that's funny when you look at these day in history things. It'll be like someone big from history, you know, like Napoleon or Alexander the Great. It's like, on this day in history, Napoleon, and it's like not was born or died or won his greatest victory or anything. It's just, on this day in history, Napoleon used the potty for the first time. Or something. That's a bit like that, isn't it? Mahatma Gandhi began his final fast. Is that really like a date in history, you know, to be remembered? Last year, on this day in history, last year, Gavin Newsom says the California wildfires will be one of the worst natural disasters in US history. Yeah. Turns out it wasn't a natural disaster, was it, Gav? It was a case of arson. Multiple cases of arson, actually. Was it not, Gav? All right, that's the show. With a couple of minutes remaining, we shall read some Super Chats and some Rumble Rants. All right, over on Rumble Rants, we've got Yvonne626 says, the Iranian state is based and the protesters need to STFU. And then he says, I love you. Okay. I completely disagree with that. I wouldn't call the Iranian state based. There you go. I don't agree with you there, Evan66, but thanks for the $5 nonetheless. Fictagious says, Farage drew up a contract for the US to not do deals with the UK forever, add a massive fine if broken, then tie the contract to the next government? It's the precedents being laid down by Labour and the EU. Yeah, okay. What else have we got? We've got a fair few on from YouTube, so I'll quickly try and get through them. Reverend North says, Bo's Buccaneers band is about again. Well, thank you for that. 44 Magnum North says, my favourite biscuit with gravy, breakfast with Bo Lamau. Thank you for the $10 there. Soup Dragon 3377 says, Bo breakfast show forever. You are the breakfast club. Breakfast with Bo. You are the breakfast club. Making it happen. The Bo show. The Bo show. Right, 44 Magnum North. Yeah, again, second comment from them says, the reason I love the show is that Bo explains what I was thinking about the previous night like an inquisitor. I'd like to think of myself as sort of some sort of Lord Inquisitor, should the time come. Some sort of completely implacable Inquisitor Lord who will brook no opposition. Okay. Soros Tampur says, understand that Iranians are fervently anti-Islam more than you. Just know that we will be on your side the same way Tommy has been with us. Okay. Okay, I mean, yeah. There's been some a fair amount of reports of some mosques burning down in Iran, in Tehran and stuff. And I've seen, again, wildly different takes from either end of the spectrum. Some saying, like that comment, some saying, look how the Iranian people were genuinely fed up with the regime, the Islamic regime, and how mosques are used as bases for the security services. And then another side of the other end of the spectrum, people saying no Muslim would ever burn down a mosque. This must be foreign agent provocateurs. I'm not there, so I can't tell you for sure which one it is. But anyway, thank you for the £5 there, Soros Tempur. What else we got? MDGH367 says, I don't see Russia and China just letting the Iranian regime fall. Yeah, there is that as well, isn't there? We talk about agent provocateurs and outside influence from the US and Israel. Yeah, but what of China and Russia? What machinations might they be playing with and dealing with as well? They really showed their hand. I wouldn't have thought China would be prepared to do all that much. Because Iran is an ally of China and Russia, but only to an extent, you know, like China isn't Shiite Muslims, are they? Nor is the Kremlin, right? They're allies of convenience. You know, Iran's in Russia's column by default, that it's so not in America's column. All these sorts of things. I don't think I personally, and I might be wrong. I think that Beijing and Moscow view Tehran as something of a sort of a pesky annoyance, something that I doubt that it's the hill they're prepared to die on in many senses, I would have thought. But nonetheless, it's a valid point you've made there. Let's see what they're, you know, let's see how far they're prepared to sort of try and back it up. All right, ZooCSGO, don't know how you say that, says, Mandelson using a gay card because gays have never been known for being involved in any degenerate activity. Certainly never been known. As bad as saying he's a movie producer. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And finally, Jank Us the Great, 9233 says, I going to be a history professor soon. Cool. Cool beans. All right, that's the show. We are now 4 minutes past the hour, so you got your fill this morning. I hope you enjoyed the show. Let me know in the comments. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, so try and make it count. Carpe diem, seize the day. You know, you'll only have this day one time. You got one shot at it. So try and make it count. All right, until tomorrow morning, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.